Your whip about to get rocking. Your smile about to be popping. Lit times for your drive, no maybes. Just yes, so release the stress. Carrie and Tommy about to go off.
Carrie and Tommy are about to kick off another great show. Listen live on the radio or anytime on their new home, the Listener app. Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, welcome to it for your Monday afternoon. We are back, but we are minus one, Tommy Little.
I know.
Little.
It's not Carrie and Tommy. It's Carrie and Pete Hellier today. Welcome, Pete.
Thanks, Bix. Lovely to be here.
We know that Tommy is alive. That much we know.
Been confirmed.
Where he is, quite genuinely, I have no idea where he has ended up. We have so many questions. I know he's on the other side of the world somewhere.
We don't know whether he's on land or
we don't know if he's on
water.
Land or sea. We will chat more about this. But thank you so much for being with us today. First day back in the country.
Well, it's great to see you because first time we've seen each other for a long time. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And, there's a little twinge in the way you're speaking. There's a little accent.
You can't just you say it and hope accent. That becomes true.
No,
I don't sound English. True.
She's definitely come back with an accent.
I haven't. I really wish, but I haven't. I had, before I left to go away, had visions of returning to the project with a full-blown, like, a fake English accent and just seeing how long before everyone went, what the hell is happened.
But you're feeling good. You got back on the weekend.
Yes.
And how are your guts?
I reckon if you put a pin in me, you know, like a big balloon that goes whee, sails away right up into the air, something's happened to me, and in the last half an hour, I'm imploding. Pre-explosion.
Because something happens to your guts when you go on those long-haul flights.
I'm in so
but
much
usually
pain.
It doesn't last for a couple of days.
It's like I'm having contractions. I don't know what's happening down there, but I'm in a lot of pain.
Okay. Yeah. Could be giving labour to something. Something over the next
anyway, we have
of hours.
A lot still to come, including chatting to Tommy, if we can chat him down. We'll be doing that later in the show.
Yep.
Stick around.
Carrie and Tommy.
For your drive home this Monday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, but no Tommy today, so Pete Hellier is filling in.
You were here for my first day back. I was going to say, a bit disappointing that Tommy's not here for various reasons, because I was looking forward to seeing him, but I do get to see you twice in one day, and then the project tonight.
Back on the desk tonight, we're very excited to have you back, and I'm excited to be here because I feel like what Tommy has tried to do is an amazing thing that he attempted, and if this is my small bit to helping out, then we're all heroes.
It's a real long bow for him to get out of his first day back at work. You know, like he goes, oh, my God, guys, I'm going to swing from England to Belgium. And, just so that I can have an extra week of holidays. Mm. He's not having holidays. The poor guy has had a really tough time. So they had to wait about 4 days to set off on their swim because the conditions weren't right. And I was texting him each day and I noticed him getting flatter and flatter and flatter over that time. Because obviously the adrenaline, you work up to something and you get told you're going to leave on a Tuesday. And then with every day that passes and you're sleeping in a boat, uncomfortable, you know,
training,
whole group of guys together.
Yeah. The training is done. The things he would have put on hold.
Absolutely.
For this to happen, gigs and you know, his own personal stuff.
It was a long stretch to get started. But then when they got the go-ahead that they were going to leave on the Friday morning, he was so happy. He was so up about it. He said, I'm feeling great and we're going to smash it out of the park. And then I got a text. I kept texting him to ask how things were going, but obviously they're out of range and stuff. And then I got a text and it was just him saying, I'm shattered. And I was like, what's going on? And then if you follow him on Instagram, this is the bit where we'll let Tommy explain for himself what happened halfway through. And so far he'd been updating people along the way. He'd done, I think, 4 swims and he was feeling really good. And the weather looked amazing and it was all going
so I think it was over 50 hours.
53 Ks they were in. They're halfway through the entire swim when this happened.
I've got shit-ass news, unfortunately. We were beautiful sunset, though. We've got bad news due to a sunset. We were over halfway and absolutely motoring. And we have had to abort the swim because despite being given permission for the route that we were on, the French authorities did not want us in their water, and when we kept swimming in their water, we had no way of going around it to get to Belgium, is what we've been told. And they threat to intercept our boat, and if that ended up happening, there would have been a court case and people would have lost their jobs.
This is an international incident, and I'll be shocked if we're not covering this first thing up on the project tonight, but this is basically a reaction to the submarine deal.
I believe
this goes back to Scott Morrison and reneging on the submarine deal. The French have seen an opportunity, despite Anthony Albanese meeting with President Macron recently, where things seem to be getting along. The relationship seemed to be being repaired. And
this has torn it apart.
Austral-Franco relations, where I believe it's referred to, have never been as low as they are right now.
Well, we joke about it, but I would actually say that I've never heard Tommy quite as low as he was when he went on to talk about it in this video. He gets quite emotional because for him, we know on this show, he's been training for 6 months for this, and as you said, he's put everything on hold. Plus, he's raised so much money, and we've been so incredibly proud of how he's been going. And I think all of that just culminated, and you can just hear the disappointment in his voice.
I guess when you try things that haven't been done before, there's a reason they haven't been done. I don't know what to say right now because I'm obviously shattered. But these things happen. Thank you for your donations. My God, the generosity of people is unbelievable. Your money will make a very real difference in people's lives and hopefully lead to a breakthrough. So thank you. Thank you.
Aww.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he doesn't feel like he's let anyone down, because what he was attempting to do was extraordinary. What he did was extraordinary.
But it's not about the destination. We were supporting him on the journey.
Yes.
The journey. And it's more than any of us have ever attempted.
Yeah.
And with any world record attempt, how many times has it worked the first time? Think of all the people we've spoken to on the project. It's taken like 10 goes. I mean, mate, you're going to have to swim this 10 times before you're going to get this world record.
Yeah.
I hope he knows that. But do you know what I mean? He was trying something. They were trying to do a world record, something that's never been done before.
And a world record from somebody who basically couldn't swim not that long ago.
Tommy's here today. Tommy's here today.
So I feel like, if you get a chance to send him a message or, in fact,
call us now, 131060. He will never hear anybody big him up or say lovely things about himself because he's too humble and he gets too embarrassed. We are going to talk to him later on. Call us now, 131060. If you do have something you want to say to him that we can play to him to let him know that he is supported, he hasn't let anyone down, that he's done an incredible thing, and that we expect him to get back in that water and get it done at some point soon.
And repair the relations with France. And also, if you give us a call and you really nail it, Tommy might cry. So we'll get to hear that later on.
It's a fair chance. He does cry often. 131060, give us a call now if there's something you want to say to Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home for your Monday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. But no, Tommy, today we've got Pete Hellier filling in.
Pete is here because Tommy is stuck in the channel somewhere from England. I shouldn't laugh, to Belgium. I'm sure he's not funny, very funny at all, as they got plucked from the water by French water police and they had to bail out of their incredible world record attempt. He's absolutely gutted, as you would imagine, and no amount of us telling him he's incredible and he has nothing to feel embarrassed about seems to be getting through. So we've asked for your calls, 131060.
I think if anyone's going to be embarrassed, it should be the French water rats, the French Steve Bisley or Gary Sweet should be embarrassed.
They don't feel embarrassed with French, though, do they?
No, you do have to go further. Yeah.
Julie, what did you want to say to Tommy? We're going to get him on in a minute, and I'm sure he would love to hear your beautiful words.
Oh, thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks, Jules.
That's good.
What would you like to say to Tommy?
Can you please just let Tommy know that it doesn't matter what happens, he's still a hero.
Yeah, hear, hear. Because as Carrie said, it's not the destination, it's the journey that we're following Tommy on.
And it's the incredible awareness he's raised along the way. I mean, it was about so much more than the actual swim.
Yeah.
It was about the conversations that he had along the way and the way that he enlightened us and spoke to us about spinal cord injuries and stuff I certainly didn't know, Julie, that I learned along the way.
But it's not only that, though. It's how many people is he helping indirectly to improve quality of life?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? He's got out of his comfort zone and he's sort of like put his own life in danger to help others. You know, swimming in unknown waters. Like, who knows what he's swimming in?
I was pretty sure he's going to be eaten by a whale or a shark. There's no, I said that to him. I said to him, mate, and to be honest, I've had this chat with Tommy quite a few times. There's one part of me that's like, mate, stop doing these crazy things. But there's also part of me that's like, mate, you are just living your best life.
But we need someone to be insane like that.
Sorry, we just had a little slip up there, so we've just dumped that audio and we've come back live.
It was. So Tommy's making this all emotional.
Ease. Nathaniel, what did you want to say to Tommy?
I just wanted to say that he's an absolute legend for even attempting to do what he wanted to do. Like, most people in their life wouldn't think of doing a cross-ocean swim. And just the fact that he even wanted to do it is just a feat in itself.
Absolutely, Nathaniel. Like, to be honest, yeah, I had a swim at the local Olympic pool at Albert Park a little while ago, and I thought I was pretty brave doing that, to be honest. But what Tommy did is just incredible.
Have you ever attempted something like that, Nathaniel?
No, not a chance.
No, and I think that's what he doesn't realise. The majority of people wouldn't even think to do it, let alone train for 6 months for it.
We need people to inspire us to kind of get out of our comfort zones, and Tommy's like that.
Don't we, Brian? We need inspiration. Are you going to inspire us, Brian?
Yeah, he's an absolute legend and an inspiration to all us people who swim like a rock.
Well, Tommy swam like a rock a few months ago.
Yeah. I've got one thing, though. I reckon he could have got on to Albo.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
To get on to his new mate, the French president,
Emmanuel,
and saying, you know, can we sort something out? I know you might be still a bit pissed off about the torpedoes, but the submarines, but geez, fair enough.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know. How connected you think Tommy is, but I'm almost certain he does not have Albo's number.
Maybe the French.
Somebody must. Albo must be listening somewhere. He's got enough people running around after him.
Maybe the French checked out Tommy's online profile. Just saw some things. They weren't quite sure if he had all his shots.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home for your Monday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, but no Tommy Little just yet. We got Pete Hellier filling in for us.
And for anyone who has been, we're going to speak to Tommy very, very soon, yeah. I should add, from wherever he is in the world. I don't have any idea where he is. But for anyone that's been playing along at home or listening in their car, my guts are feeling a lot better. So
I was wondering.
I just thought you'd like an update.
Did you sneak one out? Because
I
thought that's what you probably need to do. And I was going to just give you permission to do that. Let's go
I
for it.
Never, Pete Hellier.
No. I mean,
I've just held so tightly that it's now gone back inside.
No. I know. Because if we can get some dried apricots in here, you can have a few dried apricots and then that'll set you off.
It's so nice to see you, though. I haven't seen you for close to 4 months now.
It's been a long time. I've been following your adventures on Instagram like everyone else.
You were one of the people, actually, from the beginning that Chris and I spoke about that kind of, when I say inspired, that's probably too great a word.
No, use it. Inspired. Inspired.
Not that you didn't not inspire, but you had once chatted to us about how you had been overseas with your kids.
Yeah.
And you travelled for a while. And I remember you talking about that as one of the greatest times in your life. And we talked about that a lot when trying to decide what we should do.
Yeah, we went when the kids were very young to France and then a couple of years after that to like Eastern Europe. And I still think they were the greatest moments we've had as a family. So we spoke about that even before you went. And I was just really envious of you having that time. So, I mean, did you have a great time, like personally?
It was amazing. Like, it was absolutely amazing. Like, it didn't all go to plan, and there was lots of times where it was really, really hard living, you know, away with three kids and not having, you know, like, kids are hard enough at the best of times, and without having that support network around you and all the things in life that just helps make parenting easy, all of that gone and you're in a new place and it's new for them. Like Addie found it really hard for a long time because I think she was a baby born, you know, around COVID time and just likes being at home. And all of a sudden we were like dragging her on planes all over the world.
Yeah.
In fact, she would say, where's the next hotel we're going to?
And does it have Wi-Fi?
That was Ollie's question.
Right, okay.
That was the 14-year-old's question. That was the first thing he did at every hotel. Wi-Fi? But for us, I don't know if you found, you know, even as we've just got back now and the time's going on, we're already forgetting the tricky bits. We're just remembering, you know, the moments that, and we just had so much family time. And, you know, I work heaps and stuff and I don't get that family time. And even just picking, I asked Evie what her favourite thing about the entire trip was. And it was the exact same thing as me. And it was picking up her up from school every afternoon. Like, that is such a basic thing. It wasn't like being at the Eiffel Tower or being, it was just such a simple thing.
It's very expensive. I mean, you think about it, you could have done that a lot cheaper.
Just picked her up
at home, just picked her up from school. I mean, you've blown a fortune. How embarrassing. What was your favourite moment in the UK? Picking up my kid from school. Don't you have schools in Australia? Yeah.
All right.
I just... No, it is... I had the same experience. I mean, you were also doing a bit of work, obviously. You're still doing the radio show over there. And so when we travelled, I wasn't working. Yeah. So it was... But it was those quiet moments just spent with the kids that I just loved. The dinners and the lunches and talking about what we're doing in the morning and what we had just done. It was, yeah.
Even talking to Ollie about it, and you know, because as a family, everybody's often ships in the night because, you know, he's got after school stuff on all the time. And he said, we were talking about it yesterday, and he said, I feel like I know my little sisters so much better now. And it's because we were just together in this tiny little place, all together a lot, with no time apart, which comes tension, obviously. But also, you kind of break through that, and then you get to know each other's rhythms more. And, you know, it sounds like we don't actually live together at home in Australia. But, you know, normal life's different to when you're, you know, in a hotel room.
But you do see, we had moments when we were traveling overseas with the kids where you saw them change, you know, and you see that growth in them, which I think is spectacular.
And the travel was really fascinating. Post-Brexit, like, you know how, because I've not really done much of Europe. I didn't travel much in my 20s. So for me, this was just cool seeing the world, right? But obviously, everyone used to talk about how you duck around Europe and you'd, you know, go from London, you base yourself in London, duck around. Well, post-Brexit, everything takes forever because you've got to go through customs and passport control. There's no staff anywhere because there's shortages. So security takes, so all of the traveling bit was actually with little kids. A lot longer and harder than I anticipated. That was something I didn't expect. I thought that would be because we're so much closer when you're over there. That was more tricky. But that was the bit I think Ollie enjoyed the most.
Did you?
All the different places. And we went on a trip, just him and I, and it was just beautiful.
To Amsterdam.
To Copenhagen.
Copenhagen, was it?
And I said to him, we're going to do more of those trips. Not always to Copenhagen, but just somewhere local. Yeah. Take him to school once or twice. the trick.
That's cheaper. And did you expect to come back with the accent?
No, stop.
It's a weird international accent now. It's very refined.
Anyway, but I'm looking forward to seeing you all back on the desk tonight too.
We can't wait to have you back.
Yeah, up next though, we're going to chat to the one and only Mr. Tommy Little.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. But the whole show we haven't had Tommy, so we've got Pete Hellier filling in.
Good to be here.
Great to have you here, Pete. But we do now have the one and only Tommy Little joining us on the phone from, actually don't know where, somewhere on the other side of the world. Welcome.
Guys, thank you for having me. I don't think it's anything to be alarmed about, but I'm on a boat full of Somali pirates.
I thought the French.
They were dressed up. They had baguettes, and I got confused.
Tommy, my advice is look at them directly in the eye and say, you're my captain now.
I thought you were going to put on a heavier accent than you did then.
No, it was pretty subtle.
Before we get too far into things, I do need to tell you that Pete Hellier just swore while we were on air and we had to dump him. So that's a first for him. And it's good to know that you're not missed too much. We still have somebody swearing on our show.
I've already heard about it. It sent shockwaves through the community overseas. And I want to know, Hellier, what made you do this? Did you just go, oh, I'll just throw a few F-bombs around?
No, it's just it's obviously the chair I'm sitting in, Tommy. It's got a vibe about it. But no, we're talking about your incredible feats, and my brain got a bit fuzzy. I got a bit emotional.
You're talking about the Mediterranean diet.
I was talking about the Mediterranean diet, maybe it's an impact on that, the fish I had for lunch.
If there's one thing that makes me swear, it's a lot of olive oil.
Yeah.
But let's talk seriously for a moment. I have been texting you. I know that you're feeling absolutely, well, you were feeling devastated. I'm hoping you've realised now how incredible you are in the 24 hours since I last told you you're amazing. Tommy Little, how are you? Where are you and what's going on?
No, I mean, I'm, to be honest, if we are still talking seriously, I'm still devastated. I'm back in London. I got the boat back. We got stuck in Belgium for a couple of nights and the weather was too bad to get the boat back. And then I got the boat back and I forgot, because the swim was over, that I get seasick. And so I didn't take any seasick.
Oh.
So I've spent 13 hours spewing over the side of a boat.
Oh, my. Wow. So, did you get seasick when you were doing the swim? Like when you were on the boat in between?
No, because like we were all conscious of it. So we all took tablets. There was two blokes spewing over the side while the swim was going on. So it's pretty glamorous stuff.
Oh,
how many times have you spewed over the side of a boat though, Tommy? It's not the first time, I wouldn't have imagined. Fair start of fun.
Mate, I was just, I was just treating it like a swear word on radio and just really letting it rip.
Tommy, I mentioned at the top of the show, and one of our callers agrees as well, this is an international incident. This is obviously a reaction by the French based on the submarine deal.
Yeah.
This is the next chapter in that. How does it feel to be part of an international incident like this?
Look, I've been told specifically to not say that the French authorities are dickheads or anything like that, but that is what they are. And it's hard when people are dickheads and you're not allowed to say it, it's very hard to dance around the issue, but what a pack of knobs.
Okay. So
La knobs.
I know you've said through your Instagram, we played a bit before, that you got intercepted and it meant you had to stop the swim 53 kilometres in. But what happens now? Do you get a chance to do it again?
I don't know. If I'm going to do it again, I'm going to do it quietly and not tell anyone. And because I've realised that talking about something heaps is great because it makes you do it, right? Mm. But then it's also just very embarrassing because now
not.
I'm sitting up.
It's not, Tommy. It isn't. No one was. We were on the journey with you. People were supporting you because what you were raising money for. It wasn't for Tommy Little. It was for spinal cord injuries, and it was for the thing that you were willing to do that none of us would be willing to do, which is put our bodies on the line for an incredible cause. And it's not about the destination. I keep telling you that. You've not let anybody down.
But I think that's exactly what makes it embarrassing, right? People have pledged money and donated money, and then you just feel like a bit of a fraud at the end of it, which is something that was out of my control. But
yes, if you had a bailed on the idea, that's maybe a different thing. But you were plucked out of the ocean by the guy from the Yoplait ads, and you know, everyone I've spoken to, it was just disappointed for you. But certainly nobody, I mean, no. You should not feel embarrassed, particularly because of the photo, your last Instagram photo.
So much so, we've got to say, Tommy, we put out to calls, because I know you wouldn't let me do this if you were here, people calling in, and we've had so many people call in to tell you how amazing you are. We have one on the line now, Fiona, meet Tommy, Tommy, meet Fiona. What did you want to say to Tommy, Fiona?
Tommy Little, you're feeling down because you've been heave-hoeing your guts out for the last 13 hours. You need to get your Freddo frogs back on. You will get more support than what you've ever had, and get back on that horse and get that swim done, my friend, because you are a pearler of a bloke. I've had the fortune of meeting you.
Aww.
And I don't know, I want to burst into tears because I didn't really hear all the story and now I have. Tommy, don't ever stop being yourself.
Yeah.
So just get your frogs back on and get out there, my friend. And I'd even do it with you.
Oh,
honestly,
yeah.
I'd be there behind you. I'll deflect the French, please.
Are we still talking about swimming?
Get back on your horse, my friend. You're just a great guy. I just love listening to your adventures. You've inspired me. When you did your run across the Antarctica, I hooked my bum up a big hill to Mount Everest. So you inspire me every day, the both of you. But, Tommy, you're doing these outlandish things. Just keep doing it, my friend.
Fiona, firstly, I love you and thank you. And I'm assuming, because in the interest of balance, we now have a caller to tell me to stop being myself and give up on everything.
I know you'd like that because that would make it funny, but we don't. We have another lovely person.
That was going to be a private text Maria, that I was going to send you.
Maria, what did you want to say to Tommy?
First of all, I want to say to Tommy that I think he is an amazing young man and I am a huge fan. And I would say to him, please don't be disheartened about the swim. You have swam halfway, which is more than anybody else has done. So a huge congratulations about that. And honestly, okay, it didn't work this time, but next time you try it, you'll definitely make it. So just pick yourself up and just go helter-skelter again, because you definitely will do it next time.
Maria, thank you. I do have a practical question for you. They already made up T-shirts for our world record swim, assuming that we would make it. Am I allowed to wear the T-shirt?
Of course. Absolutely. Why not?
Okay.
They're collector's items now. Charge double
but
for
also,
them now, Tommy.
What did I say to you? No one's ever even swum half that channel. So you have created a record of some sort.
It's getting real obscure, though, isn't it?
Look after yourself. I know you've got a big few days ahead working out what to do, but when you're ready to come home, we'll be here waiting for you.
Yeah, what do you mean? I've worked out what to do. I'm coming home.
Okay, great. Okay. See you soon.
Okay, love you guys. Bye.
I just wanted to give you the option in case you felt like you might want to have another crack.
Hang on. Am I allowed to stay?
No, get on your arse. It's not my call. You do whatever is in your heart, Tommy.
Tommy, your replacement keep swearing on the radio. You need to get back ASAP.
Bye. Love you.
Bye.
See you, legend.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, but no, Tommy, this afternoon we got Pete Hellier filling in, and coming up very soon, your shot at 20 grand, all thanks to the Foxtel original drama series, The 12. You can register online at carrieandtommy.com.au.
This is so exciting. I can't wait to chat through The 12. Yeah. It's going to go down. Stuff is going to happen during this special show we're about to put to air next week. And if you're listening at home, there is $20,000 on the line that could be yours. And I reckon there's a high chance it'll go to one of you listening, one of our listeners.
I've already registered my details and I'm still waiting for confirmation that I'll be one of the 12. So exciting times. Carrie, I do need to speak to you about something and get your opinion. Something
personal or professional?
It's personal, and it involves the bedroom. It involves the bedroom, and it involves my wife. So I thought, why not? Instead of having a private conversation, why not do it publicly? So if you don't mind, there's something I'd like to broach with you.
Yeah, sure. Come and sit in the couch.
We'll do it next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy, for your drive home this afternoon, we've got Pete Hellier filling in.
Thank you very much. And, okay, Carrie, just huddle in.
Yeah. Something not too close. It's weird. You're talking about you and your wife in the bedroom and asking me to huddle in.
We're still social distancing. You're right. I apologize.
It's not the first time we've asked.
You're the one who left your bra in my car.
That's right. Yeah, so, I actually did.
Yeah.
Innocent mistake.
Story for another time. Something that's happening in the bedroom, Carrie, is it's been going on for a long time. And, I snore. Now, I don't snore all the time.
Oh, do you?
Well, if I'm in a hotel by myself, like, you know, if I'm touring or, you know, interstate for whatever reason, it's never an issue.
Of course not.
It's only an issue when I'm in the same bed as my wife.
Which is most nights, I would
most
think.
Most nights. Yeah. Most nights. But it's not every night. And often it happens.
Is it really not? Is it after, what, big nights of drinking or something?
Well, that's certainly, yeah, well, that's the epicenter.
Is it a position?
It's grow up, everyone. Yeah, it's,
I mean, he wouldn't be asleep.
Well, I, you know, I if I'm on my back, if I happen to fall asleep, usually I'm watching TV.
Yeah.
Like I was away with Aiden and Oscar, my two younger ones. Oh yeah, 17 and 13. And we went to Buller last week, and I had a few drinks with the friends who were up there. And I went to bed, and I thought I'm just going to listen to some music before I go to sleep. And then so I put on some noise cancelling headphones. Like, you can't sleep on your side, and I was snoring like really, really badly.
And they said to you, "Dad, you're snoring."
Yeah. I'm not fighting the idea that I snore. I'm not even trying to ask you how to fix snoring. Okay. But what happens? Sometimes Bridget will wake me up. She'll give me a nudge on the shoulder, and I'm like, and she goes, "You're snoring. Stop snoring." And I'm like, I am very clear in my mind that I wasn't even asleep. That it, like I'm like no, I was awake, and I'll say I'm awake. I was actually trying to work out how to get to sleep, or I was actively thinking about something.
Well, why would she wake you up and say you're snoring?
Well, and I'm not saying she's lying. Okay, I'm not saying she's lying. So she obviously thinks that I'm snoring.
No, she's just listening to you snoring, and she can't sleep, so she's pushing you to move over.
Yeah, but there are times when it does wake me up, and I'm like, yeah, fair call. I'll change position, but. There are times where I swear that I'm awake when she does it.
So you're awake snoring now?
Well, is that a thing? Does a brain play a trick on you to convince yourself that like replays a little bit earlier from when you were awake? I don't know. So we've reached out to a sleep technician from Dusk Till Dawn Sleep Centre.
Is this what you got the team to do today?
Yes.
So they're trying to fix your marriage.
Well, this is basically why I'm here. Don't worry about Tommy Little. This is me. Kirsty Moss. G'day, Kirsty. How are you?
Hi, Pete. How are you going?
I'm good. You are now the sleep technician to the stars. Kirsty.
Yes.
Did you hear what what happens?
Sounds like an insane person, Kirsty.
No.
Is he making any sense?
Sometimes my wife like gives me a nudge to stop me from snoring, but I'm like, I'm very clear in my mind that I wasn't actually even asleep when she nudged me. Like I was actually trying to get this, working out how to get to sleep or thinking about something. Is that possible?
Yeah, it's funny you should say that because I think about every man that comes into our clinic says the same thing. So, So what happens is you actually have three, four stages of sleep, and you were probably hitting stage one, which is where you still are aware of things. You can hear things going on around you, but you're in a stage of sleep and you've relaxed enough that your airways or your muscles inside your throat have relaxed and
right.
Then start to snore. So you can still be very aware. Someone could talk to you and you would probably speak back, but it is a stage of sleep.
So I could still be actively having thoughts about trying to get to sleep.
She's thinking, how can I kill him?
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then you could well have just relaxed enough that you were on your back as well. So you've just, your muscle tone has relaxed and then the airway can close over,
muscle,
or slightly close over or start to vibrate.
What kind of snorer are you? Are you like a...
I like to think that I'm a cute little snorer.
No one's a cute little snorer.
You know the way babies snore?
is your mouth open, Pete?
Yeah, I believe so. When my kids heard me, Aiden said to me, he goes, "I always thought Mum was exaggerating when she spoke about your snoring," but he was like, he goes, "I had my headphones on, the pillow over my head."
Okay, so this is we don't have all day to sort out your relationship, but I feel like since we've got Kirsty on the phone.
What can you do? What can we do?
I actually just think we need to discuss fixing your snoring.
Yeah.
Is there a simple thing you can do to fix your snoring?
You're a definite candidate for a sleep study. Have you ever had a sleep study before to monitor your sleep to see what actually happens in your sleep?
No, I have not.
I'll go do one of them. I took Olive one of them.
The other thing is when I knew that it was you, Pete, that was going to be on here, I thought this is great because I could already have probably told you that I think you have sleep apnea just by looking at you.
Well, I mean,
this is
a blow. This is like when Richard Wilkins was on the Today Show and was told he needed hearing aids. What is it? Kirsty, is it my friendly demeanour?
So someone who snores, we need to just really look at and see why they're snoring, because snoring actually is not normal. It used to be one of those things that we joked about, and your grandfather's grandfather that snored, you'd put them in the den because no one wanted to sleep with them. And it sounds like that's happening to you with your mate.
With your mate, your wife.
Yeah, he's, we're very close. She's my wife. But
snoring is, you know, a sign of something else actually going on. So, to be honest, you in men it is more prevalent, and the reason it's more prevalent in men because they have a thicker neck. And when I talked about looking at you, I can see that you have a thicker neck compared to some other men.
Like Waleed. It's because I sit next to Waleed, and Waleed does have a thin neck. We've discussed this on the show before. He was not allowed in the Formula One car because he's got a thin neck. So we should ask Waleed if he snores or not. That's what we need to find out.
He could have narrow airways. So you can have a thicker neck, which all and a longer pharyngeal. The back of your throat, so and that could be sort of a longer pharyngeal airway, and in men it's more common. But you can also have a very, very narrow airway as well, which a lot of us do. Women do. Young, thin women can have a small airway, and they can snore like a trooper as well. So
see, watch out,
I did
Carrie.
Not expect this to be funny, Kirsty, but you've really tickled me with this. This just made me laugh.
Well, Kirsty Moss is a sleep technician to the stars, and this is why, because she's honest. She calls it like it is. Yeah. And I'll look into some sleep studies. I'm gonna drill a hole into my neck, yeah. So there's another way out. Then instead of snoring, I'll just be whistling.
Oh. Kirsty,
Carrie and Tommy, Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home for your Monday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy. Little Tommy is away today. We got Pete Hellier filling in.
12 strangers locked in a room. $20,000 cash. One person will walk away with it all, but only if they can convince enough people in that room that they deserve it the most. Carrie and Tommy's. Who are you to judge? Thanks to the Foxtel original drama series, The 12, now on Foxtel.
This is so exciting. One room, 12 jury members, 3 hours to reach a verdict on who deserves the money. But here is the catch. If the jury can't come to a majority vote on who deserves the cash, then someone listening at home, in their car, wherever you are at work, you'll be able to call through in that moment and steal the $20,000 away from those 12 jury members sitting in that deliberation room.
Wow.
Today we are going to welcome the first jury member into that room. She joins us on the line now. Brooke, welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much.
Well, yes, thank us, but you've got a hard road ahead of you, Brooke, because do you realise this is going to be hard work convincing 12 people that it's you that deserves the cash?
Yeah, I know, but I think I've got good strategies and, yeah, I think I can do it.
Okay, so what strategy are you using? Are you going to pull at the heartstrings? Are you going to be a bit cold and sort of aloof? What's your go?
No, see, you know what? I think everyone is going to do sob stories, so I'm not going to do any sob stories. Mm-hmm. I think I'm not going to be pushy. I'm just going to be that nice, happy, beautiful, bubbly person that everyone just really loves. And I think, you know, being kind and happy, everyone just, you know, will fall for that.
Yeah, yeah, but do you need the cash, you know?
I do need the cash.
Sell it to us.
Okay. Well,
pretend I'm the Pete and I are the 11 other people. Give me your spiel. Okay.
Just imagine me sitting there with my thick neck. I'm listening. I may even be snoring.
Okay.
I mean, phase one of the sleep thing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Picture this. I'm getting married this Friday and I've got...
Are you actually?
I actually am, yes.
Oh, wow. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I've got 2 kids under 2. So it's very crazy.
Wow.
Me and my partner, we just want a beautiful honeymoon, but it's too hard to go without the kids. So I want to hire a nanny so that the nanny can come with us and that me and my partner can actually get 5 minutes alone.
On your honeymoon.
On our honeymoon.
Oh,
so we've not got our honeymoon booked. So to win the $20,000 would be amazing. And, yeah, why not? So no sob stories. It's just... wanting to spend a beautiful time with my partner.
Feeling a bit sob story-esque, Brooke.
I do feel you need to get something else in there. Maybe your new husband has sleep apnea.
Yeah,
and you really need the nanny to take the kids off your hands for a couple of hours.
I can get time on my own. Maybe I need to say that. Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'll
Well,
that in.
Brooke, you've got just over a week to plan and get married. I didn't know that was happening in the meantime, but go work on that. But you're also going to have to work on your selling, your tactic, Brooke, because next week you're going to be sitting in a room with 11 other people trying to win $20,000. So congratulations to getting this far, for starters.
Thank
and we're going to be summoning one more person for jury duty tomorrow. So make sure you have registered. How do they do that, Jesse?
CarrieandTommy.com.au. Jump online and get it done. Thanks to the brand new Foxtel original drama series, The 12, now on Foxtel.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. We got Pete Hellier filling in for Tommy this arvo.
Yes, and one of our faves about to join us up next, a great mate of both of ours.
Who's that?
You know. Well, we're not going to say it's a tease.
It's a tease, his name. We're going to say his name?
Well, you can't. Now it's weird.
No, I do know who you're talking about. I'm confused because me and him aren't that great mates, to be honest. No, we look very similar. In fact, it's like looking into a mirror sometimes. And that's, I don't know.
Don't you know the industry lingo? Everyone's your great mate.
Yeah, okay. He's a great mate. He's a tight ass.
Who is it?
He's a massive tight ass.
Oh, we'll find out who that is next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy driving you home this afternoon, but no Tommy the Savo. So we've got Pete Hellier filling in.
And Pete, I don't know about you, but this is one of these shows where I always think I'm not sure whether you want to go on it or not, because what you might discover about the people you know and love in your family may change the dynamic of your family forever.
I know people who were very much looking forward to going on this show, and then they were broken by it.
Is that one of the guests we got on next? Dr. Chris Brown joins us now. Welcome.
Hello.
Oh, Brownie.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about Who Do You Think You Are? It is the show where you go on and they trace your ancestry and they discover all the secrets and surprises from your past.
It's not so much about identifying who your great-grandfather was. It's almost this forensic examination of your personality traits. And they systematically almost find where all those little quirks that people talk about, where they might have come from, and where the relative that first possessed that little quality might have emerged from. So yeah, you look a lot about your family, but a lot about yourself, which is where it becomes quite
confronting.
Did you get nervous, Brandy, when you landed in Berlin? Like, how many Nazis are in the Brown family, mate?
My first question on day one was, what happens when you find the really dark stuff? Do you put it to, absolutely, and you need to prepare yourself for a couple of surprises. And I didn't think I had any. You know, I guess the greatest insult would be if there wasn't anything interesting in
your
family.
Boring.
And apparently, in six years, only one person. I don't know who it is. One person that they looked at their family history and went, "Nah, there's just nothing there for us. There's just nothing interesting."
So what did we discover that could shake this Mr. Nice Guy image that you've been carrying around with you all this time?
It is some sweet irony that you, Peter Hellier, are on the show today, because one of the things I was quite concerned about in my family is that there is actually a really rich vein of tightness. So there's a lot of
kindness.
Tightness.
So tightness.
Yeah, because I've experienced this with Brandy.
What?
Brandy, myself, and Sam Mack, just early days of the pandemic, actually, and we thought, let's go to Chinatown in Sydney, because there's a lot of people avoiding going to Chinatown. We thought, no, let's support Chinatown. We go down there and...
I remember this.
Yeah.
And he never paid.
Never paid.
Oh.
Never paid.
And so I raised this with the producers and said, I'm a bit concerned what you might find, because they're in amongst my immediate family. There's a lot of tightness as well and kindness. and they've identified the chief instigator in the 1850s of where this tightness came from. That was an eye opener. And then there's on the other side of the family, there's a casual guy who served some serious time for murder. So look, apart from that.
Wow.
It's a pretty clean slate.
Did you find out where you got your chiseled chin from?
Yep.
I think we all know that when your father is the local vet who works with horses, and there may have been a few that were unplayable and untraceable. Because I'm just a bit bigger than all the rest of my brothers and look like, so, you know, that's a small
thing. Hey, changing pace for one sec. I've obviously, I'm good friends with you. I've known for a while that you've had some full-on stuff going on in your own family, but I saw that you did a chat recently with Stella Magazine talking about your mum. How's everything going there?
Yeah, fine. Look, it that was genuinely part of the interest in doing Who Do You Think You Are, is that Mum was spending a lot of time researching the family history, but then Mum got diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. So that's been what, 8 years now, and it's a terrible disease. It's a very slow progression and a very sad thing. But at the same time, it's a beautiful gift to be able to kind of continue on the work Mum was doing and discover a lot of those things that I think she was probably too scared to look for. A lot of the time as well. So yeah, that she's doing okay, and it's in a strange sort of way, it does bring the family closer, and everyone as a result, we're a tighter family unit, a family unit that would be blown apart 7:30 tomorrow night after watching the show. it all works out in the end. It's all in balance.
Fantastic, Mirandy. Hey, before we let you go, mate, have you noticed that Carrie's come back with an accent?
I haven't come back.
Just a really subtle English accent.
Very international. it's one of those untraceable ones that people get from a week in Spain.
She visited a lot of countries.
Yeah.
Almost, she called me a Malacca off air before.
God, replace Tommy with your filthy mouth. Brownie.
I've just seen a collection of photos of your children misbehaving in various museums across Europe. That's my take of your holiday.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate. Brownie, tomorrow night, 7:30 on SBS and SBS On Demand, Who Do You Think You Are? We can't wait to discover who you really are, Mr. Chris Brown. And thank you, as always.
Hey, no worries at all. Nice to chat with you guys.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, but Tommy is still away at the moment. So we've got Pete Hellier filling in. And Pete, you're about to be spoiled by Bicker's favourite game.
Oh, God. I thought maybe because Tommy wasn't here, we could have a day off.
No.
No, okay.
It is time for Same, Same, But Spoken. I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. Same, same, but... Now, this is Bicker's favourite version.
What is that?
We've played this one before, Bicker's.
In the tunnel?
No. Close, though.
Mining.
No.
Where did you go?
Caving,
sorry. Okay. So Pete Hellier is looking at me like, what the hell is happening? So Jesse reads, this started with Jesse reading song lyrics, just reading them, and we had to guess what the song was, and that got really boring.
Yep.
So then he's found other ways to jazz up the segment. So now he reads his song lyrics, and we've got to guess the song, but right now he's in a cave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this time it'll just be the song in a cave, which is very hard to record.
Oh, see, you're not reading it. Now you're just playing songs in the cave. Okay.
It is very hard to keep Bickers entertained, but I'm doing my best, all right? Here's your first song.
Carrie. I want it that way, Backstreet Boys.
See, she says she hates it, Pete, but she's all over it.
Yeah. I mean, how long has he been playing this game for?
Well, it's different every week.
Okay.
It's not always this weird segment.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Great. I mean, actually, it's mostly pretty weird.
All right, song number two.
Okay.
Carrie.
Because.
Gaga, Bad Romance. Oh, you're going to help me win this.
Well,
you are shit at this game, and it's really helpful for me.
I'm at a disadvantage because I don't know any of these songs.
You know Gaga.
Well, yeah, I know Gaga when
you
say it.
Backstreet Boys.
I interviewed the Backstreet Boys in New York in 2000.
Did you?
Yeah.
2000.
Yeah. I got them to sing Happy Birthday to me, even though it wasn't my birthday.
Why?
Yeah. Hellier. Burns, the Backstreet Boys. One Hellier, Kevy Kev, zero.
All right. Pete, to stay in the game, here we go.
Pete.
Oh, hey, this is your era. This is your song, baby.
Skater boy, Avril Lavigne.
He knows that.
He strikes back.
All right, 2-1. Pete, this is to stay in the game, or to tie it up.
McCary.
Bickers for the win.
Justin Timberlake, Sexy Back. Yeah, baby.
That's actually how Carrie reintroduced herself to the project staff. She walked in singing Sexy Back, hands in the air. But she changed the words to, I'm bringing Carrie back. And a lot of the staff had changed. They weren't even aware that Carrie worked on the show anymore. So it was, it didn't go down quite as great as Carrie had hoped when she thought about it on the plane on the way back home.
Now that the show's finished, don't be sad. You can get more Carrie and Tommy anytime you like. Just download and sign up to the Listener app. It's the new home of Carrie and Tommy.